you've introduced yourself to me before, but you're in a different band, at least for the moment. So would you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, my name's Vincent Clark, and from the band Erasure, and currently working with my old band, or one of my old bands, called Yaz here in America.
Do you ever think all these years later you'd be saying one of your old bands?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I do lots of interviews, and people ask me about the bands that I was involved in prior to meeting Andy. So, you know, it's this tour that we're doing is 25 years after the band broke up, and I emailed my best friend today and said, "Well, we're going to be finishing in 2.5 weeks, and you won't see me playing with Yazoo now for another 25 years." So I'll be 72.
It's interesting because I was thinking that the last time we talked, you were in Erasure, and of course you still are, but it's actually possible to go back in time.
It's been very strange. I mean, I wouldn't have known a year ago that I would be doing this because I was very busy and working with Andy, and we finished a big tour in Europe and in the States, and at the end of the tour, Andy suggested that he might want to take some time off from Erasure. You know, because usually we go do a tour and then go straight back into recording a new album. And this time around, he said, "You know, why don't we take a couple of years off?" And Alison had been in touch prior to that, suggesting that we might do something together. And the management people started talking to each other, and we decided that this was a perfect time to do a kind of a reunion tour.
And one of the things that I read was, and I don't know if it was you or Alison said it, is that one of the motivations was that it was, you know, the songs performed live were so incredibly powerful that this was, you know, a great excuse.
Well, I mean, Alison's a performer and she loves being on stage, and we recorded two albums together and we only ever toured the first album. So this is the first time that the second album's ever been played live. And she feels like it's kind of unfinished business.
And that's a great segue, because one of the things she's always said is that your relationship, and this has been written about a lot, but I still think it's important for us to talk about it, that your relationship was a working relationship. And one of the quotes that I love is that after 3 months of working together, after you recorded Only You, you didn't even have time to have a pint together, and you didn't even feel back then that you knew how to communicate with each other at the age of 21.
No, I mean, I kind of knew Alison before we got together. I'd seen her perform in a couple of bands, and my best friend was in her punk band called The Vandals. But then we started working together. She did a demo of Only You. The record company accepted that, and we wanted to start recording. But, you know, in that time, we never really got to know each other, and, we weren't mates. It was really just going in the studio, recording and writing and making these records.
And it was Alison who sent you very recently an email out of nowhere, right? Pretty much. So did you have any expectation of that? What exactly did she write to you?
Well, it was very flattering, and I was shocked because we hadn't actually spoken to each other for 13 years, I think. And, she said that, you know, maybe we could do something together. It's been 25 years. And I didn't feel that it was right that I could go on and, you know, necessarily do some recording with Alison, because it would be like telling your wife that you're sleeping with your first girlfriend, you know. But then the idea of the tour came up.
And that's just taking a vacation from your girlfriend.
Exactly.
Or boyfriend, or...
Yeah. And that, I mean, and Andy's been doing some writing, you know, on his own, and some solo work. So, you know, the timing was perfect.
I read in another interview that, and it's funny because you said it way before you got here, that you were truly surprised at the response to the tour so far, and the fact that there are now suddenly, it was supposed to be a few dates, and now there's a lot of dates, and particularly Los Angeles and San Francisco, you were amazed by the response. Now, I was at, I believe it was the Independent, right after I interviewed you and Andy for, I believe it was Gay Policeman Night, and I saw what happened that night. So why would you be so completely surprised at the response to this particular event?
Well, I mean, just because it's, because it's been 25 years, it's not like we've been consistently putting out records. We made two records. We did one tour. We played three dates in America, in New York. I mean, I kind of thought that we might sell out a couple of dates in New York, but when the tickets started selling for the West Coast of America, I was very shocked.
And are you still under legal obligation here in America after all of this nonsense to call yourself Yaz?
I believe so. I mean, we certainly lost the case. There was a band that had the name Yazoo already, and they went to the courts and said that that people were going into record shops and buying our record instead of theirs by mistake. So the judge or whatever decided that that was probably the case, and we changed our name to Yaz.
So after all those years in Erasure, when you went back to the original Yaz or Yazoo tracks, what was your reaction?
It was very weird. I mean, I hadn't actually listened to these records for 25 years. I was given the multi-tracks of the original recordings. And what shocked me the most was how little there was on each song. The arrangements were very, very simple. And, but, you know, in a good way. I think maybe that's why they've kind of lasted the amount of time that they've lasted. I remember going in the studio, when I was in the studio with Alison, and it was like everything that we did, to me, sounded great, because I'd never heard it before. But now I've heard everything. You know what I'm saying?
And yes,
so,
yes.
And now you make a record and you have to make it more complex because you think it's more interesting. But going back to these old records, I realised that that isn't necessarily the case.
If I remember right, back in the day, you were schlepping a Fairlight on stage. So when you were thinking about this tour and the whole idea that, you know, the Fairlight doesn't, there's no need for schlepping that on stage. You can do this all on a laptop. So tell me a little bit about the progression there in technology and how when you went back to the tracks and you said, wait a minute, I don't have to do this anymore.
Well, I mean, doing the because prior to working with Alison, I was with Depeche, and, you know, that was three guys playing synthesizers. So that was all the musical parts that we needed, plus the tape recorder, of course. And then with Alison, it was just myself, so I had to reproduce the music using sequencers, just sequencers. And at the time, the Fairlight was the only machine that was capable of doing that and playing multiple tracks. It was so... I mean, it was advanced at the time, but looking back now, I mean, I had to have two on stage because it took, whilst one song was playing, it would take that amount of time to load the second song.
Right, you had those big, giant discs.
And the discs were like 12-inch discs, yeah, right. Big floppy discs. So, I mean, you know, things have moved on, you know, incredibly, really.
And also the most interesting thing because, and I was thinking about this today, because when I was listening to the music, I'm thinking, well, this is certainly music that today you'd have no reason to record analog. You would certainly go straight from a synthesizer into Pro Tools or whatever it is, and it would stay a I don't want to say synthetic, but it would stay a digital signal. But this was all on analog tape. So when you went back to those tapes, were they stored well, or was that a lot of work?
Well, I mean, all tape corrupts and corrodes, you know, over the years. So the tapes had to be baked. And then once they're baked, you can play them two or three times, and then they're digitized. So that's what I had to work with. But even after digitizing them, when I listen to the sounds very, very carefully, then I can still hear that they are analog sounds, and they do sound very different. Some of the sounds were lost, and I had to recreate with digital instruments. And although I can get it pretty close, I can never really get it sounding the same, or the sounds were never as rich as the originals.
So this was actually not in my questions, but I'm about to, you know, like everybody else, it just released in the US, it's been in the UK for a while, but the new set. So did you replace sounds on that when you were mastering the actual set of the albums?
Some sounds I had to replace just because they were lost. And what I had to do, or didn't have to do, but what I decided to do was I chopped all of the tracks and put them in time because they were recorded onto tape. And, you know, because you're constantly rewinding tape and playing tape, then you get tape stretch. This is all very boring. What it means is the tempos vary, you know, as much as 10 beats per minute. And that's really, that's to my huge. To my ears, that's not acceptable.
Well, that situation, and I remember this from my club days, situation, am I right, it's 118? Bringing that up to 128 or down to 98, that's kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, you just, you know, and I couldn't work with them whilst the tempo varied so much within the track. So I cut the beats up and I cut the sounds up, and bit by bit I put them all into time. It's very laborious donkey work. Well, I had a studio in the UK, and when I moved to America, I couldn't bring all that stuff to New York. So we're having a building made at the moment in my back garden, and all of my synthesizers and drum machines and samplers, all my analog gear basically, is in New York at the moment. It was shipped over, and we'll be installing that into the new studio in a couple of weeks' time after the tour.
That'll be fun. Was the choice, I was kind of amazed actually, because I had just played Hercules in Love Affair, and I went on the air, and I actually, the first thing I said is, well, gosh, I wonder where the influence of that new Hercules in Love Affair record came from. And of course, people emailed me and said, well, you know, we love it. But the choice of the remixers, I was totally intrigued by the fact that Hercules in Love Affair was one and some of the other remixers. So was those remixes your choice? Did you go after those people? Did they come after you and say, we want to remix some Yaz tracks?
I would love to say that I knew anything about remixing, but I know nothing at all. And I don't know any of these people. I have spoken to Hercules and whatever their name is. But, you know, I've got a 2.5-year-old son, so we listen to the Wiggles. And as far as remixing is concerned, I'm completely out of touch.
I would be remiss, and if Andy was sitting here, he would yell and say, you didn't talk about me, but I know, let's talk just a couple of minutes, because we've got five left, about Andy, and he took the year off, and I understand that is he working with somebody else, and then you guys are going to get back together now and make the next album?
Well, he's doing some songwriting with a guy called Stephen Haig, who produced one of our albums, and also I think he's going to be working with another guy called JC, who also produced one of our albums, because they're all living in the same town, and doing some songwriting, and I think he's going to be working on doing a solo record. He just recently did some dates with Cyndi Lauper in the States. Yes. On the on her tour, and but yeah, we'll after this spell, I think in the middle of next year, myself and Andy will be getting together to do some writing for a new record.
Because the longevity and the way that you've worked together is just, did you ever think that, you know, I mean, because here's Yaz 25 years later, but as you look back, and I know what the story is with Depeche and why you left, and you didn't like the way the band was running and the emotion behind it and all of that, but my gosh, Erasure, when I look back now, from the moment that I first play Old L'Amour, that's a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I don't know that either of us could ever imagine that we'd still be making music together after all this time, but you know, it's very few marriages last as long as my relationship with Andy. And I think, you know, when you find the right person to write with, because it's a very personal thing, writing with somebody, and you know, you have to be incredibly open, and you know, you're bearing your soul a little bit when you write a song. To find the right person, I mean, once you've found that person, you stick with them.
The formula works.